Earlier this week on Total Sport, we discussed a turbulent period in Sunderland's history, namely the late 70s, early 80s. That same period, well, it was transformative for Newcastle United too, partly because they signed Ando during it, of course. Gary Sherrard has written a book, The Wilderness Years. That book is out now, and he has joined us. Hello, Gary. How are you doing?
Good evening. Very good, thanks. You?
Hey, Gary.
Thanks for coming on. What attracted you to the Wilderness Years, Gary, and to write about them?
Yeah, I think this it's not an analytical story of six seasons. It's framed around the 6 years when I started becoming a regular. In 1978, gates were plummeting after relegation, and me and my 11, 12-year-old mates are heading in the opposite direction to go into the ground. And it became the thing. You've got to remember, there was very little on TV and little talk about football except Saturday. So your week revolved around going to that game. Yeah. And it's really the evolution of me and a group of mates over the six seasons on those concrete steps in all weathers, the most open-air stadium in the country, in the coldest part of it. That's pretty... it sums up how Newcastle planned things in those days. Unlucky for Ando and Kevin Keegan and Peter Beardsley and others, the Wilderness Years also included the last 2 years when things started to go up. But it's really that, it's that evolution and that growth of young fans, and it's always a very impressionable age. So at your impressionable age, you remember things very much in detail, where I probably couldn't tell you about last year's FA Cup final or the first game of the season, whatever.
Yes.
I can remember the Carabao Cup final. Yeah. And that's what it all revolves around, really.
Yeah, because going into that time in the 70s, well, they had reached a couple of cup finals earlier in the 70s, hadn't they? But they hadn't been a major force in English football, really, probably since the FA Cup final wins of the 50s.
No, I'm in that generation, as I say, born in the right place at the wrong time. My dad's generation can still tell you about the 1950s Wembley trips, and probably my son's generation would tell you about the 1990s entertainers and all of the Champions League appearances and things since then. We were slap bang in the middle. 1974, I remember watching, I remember crying in the downstairs toilet at the full-time whistle at home. We'd only had a colour TV for a year. So that was a formative memory. 76, it was still dangerous play from Dennis Chewett. I'm not having that. And then into only Newcastle could win a place in Europe, play in Europe and get relegated in the same season. And that was that's the very season when we started going regularly as young lads, thinking the world revolved around St James's Park.
Yeah, so why did things go a bit downhill?
Oh, the thing that really got me when I started looking back properly, I've got programmes and scrapbooks and things, the thing that really shouted out at me was it looked like the club accepted it was a second division club almost the moment it went into the second division. There wasn't the parachute payments and stuff you have these days, but you'd think a big club, if you go in the second division, you're thinking about getting out of it straight away. But just the fact that the Leasers End was knocked down and not rebuilt because it coincided with relegation. Bill McGarry came in as a manager, having not had a stupendous track record before he went to the Middle East. I think he'd turned down Port Vale to get the Newcastle job, which showed where the club was sort of looking there. The big star names had gone. I'm exactly the right age to still like Gordon Lee, probably as much as Ando did, giving him a free at Preston, because he was the man who will always be known in North East as the lad who sold Malcolm McDonald. Even though Newcastle went on to qualify for Europe in a McDonald-less season, it's those kind of things all come together. Look at the names who left and they're replaced by journeymen, and the fact that Newcastle signed three non-league players in one season and all three came in and became real stalwarts of the team at that time, Alan Shoulder, Steve Carney and Peter Cartwright, they came from the Northern League. It tells you everything about how far the standard had fallen, that they made such an impression, and they made a brilliant impression in the first go of professional football.
How important was, you talk about maybe a catalyst for change, was that all down to Ando? Kevin Keegan, both of them, the two of them arriving around about the same time?
Yeah, if you get a copy of the book, John, you're on page 270. And I did check before.
There's only 268 pages in it.
I did check that I'd been complimentary before I said, yes, I'll come on the phone.
I think we'll take your word for it.
The two Keegan eras to me just look so similar. It wasn't just what happened on the pitch, just everything seemed to be buoyant. Well, he did the same as a manager, came in, the whole region erupted at that point. As a player, I wouldn't say the whole region erupted, because I think we were still very nervous of being in the second division. We had a sellout for his first game, but I got tickets on the day for his second home game. I think Middlesbrough, when Mick Shannon made his debut. And we just walked up on the day. There's 36,000 there on the Saturday and 25,000 there on the Tuesday or Wednesday night. So it took a while. I think people needed convincing. They loved the fact Kevin was there. But then when you look around that squad, very quickly, Arthur Cox started putting the pieces together with Terry Mack, a certain John Anderson, my favourite, David McCreary. They all sort of came in, settled. He kept quite a settled look around. He added little touches, Peter Beardsley and Glenn Roeder later on. I think Chris Waddle convinced himself that he was good enough to be in that team, which probably took a bit of a feat from Arthur Cox at that stage. He's quite a shy guy, and convinced himself, yeah, I can be in this company. And all of those things came together, and we got a Keegan bandwagon version one, didn't we?
I've jumped to page 270 while you were talking there, actually, Gary. I'm going to read this bit. This one sentence I'm going to read, Ando. For many, Anderson would become an automatic choice in any list of best value signings in Newcastle United's history.
It was very kind. Very kind indeed.
It was players like that, though. John, David McCreary, people like that make such a impact when you've got the Holy Trinity up front. You've still got to win the ball. You've still got to intimidate people at certain times to know they're not getting it all their own way because you've got some fancy dams up front. And I think John's a good illustration of that, and had a good 10 years of service. Yeah.
Those three up front were unbelievable.
Yeah,
they were brilliant.
Yes, you often talk about them, don't you?
Incredible.
Gary, we need to move on because we're almost at the end of the show, but thank you very much for coming on this evening. The Wilderness Years, it's out now, yeah?
It is out now, yes.
Good stuff.
Cheers, Gary.
So if you want to read a bit more about what we've been talking about there, that period in Newcastle's history, which involves John Anderson, that would be a good read for you.